The following episode contains sensitive topic information that may not be appropriate for young listeners, as well as religious or other views that may not reflect those of the Sirens team.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Rhonda, Ron, and Lindsay with Sirens of the Supernatural coming back at you. Wherever you're listening or watching, we're glad you're here. And share, tell someone else about the podcast so we can get more listeners and more people getting spooky with us. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Your dad just said fine, and you in the living room. So listeners, we have it's not a disembodied voice. It's just Lindsay's dad. Anyway, I think he's a little jealous because he's not part of the podcast.
Yeah, we should have him on an episode.
Oh, Lord. That'd be funny. We do have some family members we'd like to bring on, and we'll plan to do that in the future. Yeah, we're all just pretty wild and crazy in our own little ways.
Yeah.
So y'all funny. Having a good week? Mine has been real busy.
Busy.
Yeah, I've been working a lot. Storms came through today, kind of messed a lot of things up. Rumor has it that there was a tornado set down about a mile or so from where I work today. A lot of craziness went on, so yeah, I was kind of worried. But everything seemed to be okay. It didn't really affect us too much. Everybody in the family safe, so that's good.
Yeah, good, good.
I remember last year when I lived in Bristol still, there was one night that I had gone to bed and my phone was like, tornado warning, like, you know, that scary noise that it makes. And it was like, seek shelter immediately, whatever it says. And I was like, I was laying in bed and I was like, I've heard this before and nothing really happened. If it says it again, then I'll do. And so then it was like, not even 5 minutes later, it did it again. And I was like, okay, I guess we'll go down to the garage. Because we, like my apartment, we had like the main floor and then there was a garage underneath. But I also had an apartment on top of us. And so you couldn't ever really hear like the weather because there were apartments beside too. So I was like, whatever. Like we couldn't hear if it was hailing or whatever. So I got Champ and me and Brian and Champ went and sat in the garage for a little bit. And nothing ever happened. It was fine. But then the next day, it was all over social media, this picture of this huge black tornado that was like right down the road from us. But,
and you know, that's weird because we never, like, that area, I can't remember really, when I was growing up that we ever had tornadoes or anything there.
So I guess just PSA, if your phone yells at you that there's a tornado, there's probably a tornado. You should probably seek shelter when it tells you to.
You probably should. Yeah. Well, we had storms, but everything's kind of calmed down now. Yeah. Nothing major. I hope we don't have another one while we're recording because Ladybug does not know what thunder is, where it's coming from. And like most dogs, she's scared of it, but she barks at it like nobody's business. She's telling it.
He got so mad the other night because it was storming, but
the joys of having a dog. I know.
Yeah, what can you do?
We went and trade him for the world. Nope. Well, we're taking a break from our busy week and from work and everything to bring you a story that is kind of a little different than what we normally do. There may be people out there who haven't heard of the Slender Man, but we gave a little teaser on our socials. I had to really kind of dig in and learn some things myself. I think I didn't know anything really about Slender Man except that there was a movie about it, and I heard that Slender Man, you know, was fake.
did we watch the movie together?
We may have.
Think we did at your house. I think we did. Remember it?
It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't like.
I didn't think it was super scary. What I remember is like just laughing at it because it was funnier than scary. It wasn't supposed to be funny, but I think it was. One of those horror movies, you know? Right.
Yeah. So, listeners, you may or may not have heard of this creepy cryptid we're calling Slender Man. He has his own movie, like we said. And Slender Man has been in the news and even linked to some pretty bizarre events, even murder. Is it murder or murders? Plural.
Just the one.
Just
that
the one.
Well, attempted murder.
Okay. And that happened in 2014, correct? Mm-hmm. Before the movie came out in 2018.
Yeah.
So real life attempted murders, and it's we're going to learn about it. We're going to learn who and what Slender Man is. So Ryan has some info that's really going to get us into it. And then I'll share a little background, and then Lindsay's going to talk about the bizarre events. All right, so take it away, Ryan.
Yeah, and Slender Man's kind of new. You know, we've heard of a lot of different things, monsters, cryptoids, you know, whatever. I never really gave Slender Man a whole lot of thought, right? I thought it was something that the kids, like you said, the kids made up. It was something scary, you know, things like that. And then I started doing more research. And to realize the effect that I had on kids, I found a poem that I found interesting. And this is from a seventh grader.
Oh.
And it was written in July of 2012. And it was on a site called Hello Poetry, and by the person that goes by the name of Rose. And Rose is a seventh grader at this time.
Okay.
And it is about Slender Man. So this is the effect that it has on certain people's mentality, mental state, as far as kids goes. So I'll go ahead and get into it. And the title of it, of course, is Slender Man. So this is Rose's depiction and poem of Slender Man, right?
Okay.
Slender Man is a jellyfish, deliberately dangerous and deadly, waiting to attack the next victim it sees. Once attacked, you won't be able to forget. The scars will remind you for life if you live through it. The arms are long and lengthy. Its body has no face. The way their presence made you feel will never leave your memory. This is something from a seventh grader that she said that this is her memory that it tormented her in her dreams. And this is her poem that she written about it. This is kind of creepy. And, you know, I'm like, okay, how does something like this really have that much of an effect on it? That it goes, you know, and I know that we'll get into the origination of Slender Man, but how did it go from that to this, you know, tormenting kids in their dreams, in their sleep, affecting them, you know, to like later on, we talk in the podcast, you know, about the murders. This kind of freaked me out. I'm like, okay, how does it affect people like this? You know, because it just kind of made me feel weird. I'm like, you know, I feel sorry for the kids, you know?
Yeah.
And then I actually found another poem, but like I said, if you guys have any reaction or questions about this, I think this right here stands alone as something that's kind of creepy, that freaks you out, because this is what people feel like as far as kids of that age group at seventh, eighth, ninth grade. This is the mentality and the mental state and how it affects them. And of course, this was back in 2012, but I'm sure it still has the same kind of effect on other people that follow these type of things. Y'all have anything else before I go into the next part?
So this was before all the stuff in the news and the 2014 stuff happened. Yeah,
this is 2012.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, and you know, and I'll get into it later, but the seventh grade, I mean, that's a similar age to the people that were actually involved. So it really speaks to how kids that age were affected with this at that time. Like, they were taking it seriously. A lot of them thought it was a real thing.
And they were hearing about this mainly through online forums. So at that time, online forums were really just getting popular. And so they were getting all this online, and you know, when you're online, you have a huge audience, you know, of like-minded people. And so it's like mass hysteria almost.
And if it's online, especially when you're that young and impressionable, who's to say what's true and what's not true?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then of course you have the gossips and the stories. You know, he goes, "Oh no, Slenderman's real. I saw him." You know, and then next thing you know, it has this type of effect, and then people start to believe these stories and things. You know.
And I remember when I was 12 or 13, you know, at that age, you're still, you know, you still kind of believe in some of the stuff that, you know, may or may not be real, but it's a little scarier when you're 12 or 13 than it is when you're 20.
Right.
Because you're not a little kid anymore, but you're also not a teenager, and your brain's not fully developed, obviously. So you're still at that weird age of, am I scared of the dark? Am I going to be brave about it? It's one of those, like, that applies to any scary story at that age. It's like, well, I'm going to act tough, but this also might be true. And maybe I just saw him in the forest outside at night, and now I'm scared, but I don't want to tell anybody.
Right. And kids that age are looking for acceptance too. I mean, you know, if a kid's in an online forum at that age, there's not too many of them that'll stand up and say, "Oh, this is a bunch of hokey."
They all play into it together. It's like that hive mind that starts happening. And then it
It's
goes
their little,
crazy
it's their
from there.
community, and yeah.
Yeah, and the way the shadow plays, you know, to me, Slenderman reminds me of like a shadow, like how the light shines on you and you look behind it and the shadow looks really, really tall or frightening, stretched out.
Stretched out,
That kind of reminds me a little bit of what this is, you know, and to somebody impressionable that's already scared anyways. Oh my God, I just saw Slenderman, you know.
And
So.
your mind plays tricks on you even as an adult, but with a brain that's not fully, you know, developed yet. I
It's
can
kind of
see
one
these
of those,
kids, yeah.
yeah, it's like one of those things where, you know, you turn off the light and all of the sudden the chair in your room that you just throw all of your clothes on, automatically a demon. That is a demon right there. I know if I turn the light on, I'm going to see Satan himself in the middle of my bedroom. And then you turn the light on and it's a chair. So you know if kids were like outside at night and it was getting dark and they saw something in the forest move or all of those tall trees, they're dark, it's pitch black. You know, your mind can make
Oh
anything out
yeah,
of
definitely.
anything.
And didn't on the movie, wasn't it a noise they heard, like a bell noise or some kind of noise they heard before Slender Man appeared? Do you remember that? I need to watch it again because I wonder if that was just written in for the movie or if that was part of the online
Oh,
like
like
lore that
theatrical.
was going on. Yeah.
Yeah, that is right. I forgot about that. That was weird.
But anyway, I'm anxious to hear this other poem.
Okay. Yeah, this poem is actually written and has a name, and it's on the same site. You know, Hello Poetry. This is a gentleman, a person named Jabin Goodness, written in October of 2013. Again, the title is Slender Man. So I'll go ahead and jump into this. Walking through the woods at night with increasing fear. You better be scared because a silent watcher, Slender Man, is here. You stop in a clearing, mouth ajar in fear. Before you is a man with no face nor any hair. His skin as pale as flour, donning a fancy suit. You take off into the woods in fear, but it's too late. He's already in pursuit. Fleeing through the woods at night in overwhelming fear. You try and hide in the darkness of the night, but even still, you can see his featureless face, a dimly glowing light. You cry out for help in the darkness of the night, but you're too deep in the woods for anyone to assist you in your plight. It's too late now to ever escape. You sit and cry with your mouth agape. He silently approaches and waits. You stare back and decide to put up a fight. It's no use, no help at all. When you enter those woods at night, you were doomed to fail.
Oh,
Sorry, doomed to fall.
that's a pretty talented kid right there. That's
Yeah,
so
and it
dark.
doesn't really tell how old this person is. It just Jabin Goodness. in October of 2013. It doesn't really say a lot more about that. But
it's really dark.
Yeah, it's a little bit darker, you know. And I don't know what's more scarier, this one or the effect that it's having on our teenagers. You know, that's what affects me. Because, you know, later on we're going to talk about more events that's kind of come to light now that's really popular in the news about the murders and things. But to get it in the first one affected me more because that's the mental state it puts the kids in. And it came to that realization and to that extreme. And that poem kind of makes you realize that. And you're like, and you worry about the children, you know, you worry about the kids and the effect it has. And like you said, Rhonda, at that time in 2012, you know, the social media, the internet, I mean, was around, but it wasn't as popular and as big now.
Yeah. So
that, you know, it's a lot of more word of mouth, a lot more activity that way. And, you know, they had to really dig in and find out more information. And that makes it a little bit worse, you know. Yeah. So, but yeah, I have those poems and, you know, and there's also a pretty cool story that I have, that's actually about Slender Man, about a person that wrote it on a website called Ranker.
Okay. I've heard that website.
You know, it's about dark memes and the internet things, and it has a bunch of stuff about Slender Man. I thought it was pretty cool. So if you guys want to hear the story before you jump into your half, you know, I'd love to be able to tell you.
Yeah.
This one is written by Amanda Sedlak Hevender, and it was basically updated October 17th of 2019. So it pretty much just says, you know, it goes into a little bit of leading of what Slender Man is. It's just what he sounds like, a tall Slender Man with no facial features, you know, and how he usually appears in a black suit. So it talks about he's a fictional character, right? Or is he?
Oh.
So then it goes by, it goes down into Knock at Night, and it's shared by a person that goes by Moon Baby X. Okay. So the story goes, it is incredibly hot where I live during the summer. No one leaves the air-conditioned paradise that is their home unless they absolutely have to. Watching the news one night, the weatherman speaking in his usual drone informed us that there was a heat wave incoming and that it would even be hotter than it normally is over the weekend. Oh, hell no, my husband says to me, clearly irritated. Well, why don't we go to my grandpa's cabin Friday night to avoid it, I replied. He definitely liked the idea. My grandfather gave us his permission to go up there for the weekend and just asking that we do a few things to help him keep it cleaned up and do some fire hazard reduction for him. So we agreed, looking forward to a weekend alone and out of the heat. Thursday evening, we pick up the keys from him and pack up our truck to leave early in the morning. Friday morning, we're headed up there and stop in a small town at the base of the mountain to get some gas and snacks. Don't it always happen that way? You stop at a gas station and they always give you some sort of warning, right? The start of every scary movie.
Yep. Right?
So we're standing outside the truck eating push pops and waiting for the gas to pump when my husband smiles at me wryly. Don't you dare, I say, knowing full well what's about to come out of his mouth. He starts chuckling between licks of his push pop and whispers in my ear, Slender Man. Slendy's waiting for you up there.
Slendy.
You're hilarious, I reply, sarcastically, if only. So we reach the cabin and get the lights and water going. We take our bags and the groceries in. It's a little chilly, so I decide to grab some firewood from the back while he finishes unloading the truck. I stop abruptly at the side of the house as I notice some scratch marks, long, thin, and going along the side like someone was dragging a rake almost while walking along. Those weren't there last time I was here, but it had been a very long time since I'd been there, so I shook my head and continued on to the back to grab a few logs. The rest of the day goes by without any incident, and we go fishing, we ride ATVs, and make some s'mores. We're sitting comfortably, cuddling on the sofa, flipping through the channels on whatever the rabbit ears on the TV will pick up, when we hear scratching and knocking along the side of the house. My husband must have felt me tense up because he immediately says, "It's probably rats." I look at him and say, "Are you effing kidding me? Rats? No way." The sound suddenly stops and doesn't start up again. So after an hour or so, we go to bed. The next morning, I go outside to grab more firewood, and curiosity gets the better of me, and I decide to go look on the side of the cabin where I heard the banging. And what I see immediately makes me want to puke. Sure, the sound was rats being nailed to the wall. There are half-eaten rat carcasses all over the wall, surrounded by those same scratch marks that I had seen the day before. That was enough for me. I start yelling for my husband to show him. "Whoa, that's messed up," he says when I show him. "I want to leave, like today. I don't want to stay another night." He makes another joke about Slender Man and tells me that we'll be fine. "If it makes you feel safer, we'll shut all the windows and door coverings." The cabin had these big wooden doors and window coverings that lock to prevent anyone from breaking in while no one is there. And I agree to this and say, "We'll just stay another night." Just before dusk, we lock everything up and barricade the front door, mostly because I demand it, so I can sleep easily. Just as the night before, as we're sitting down watching television, I hear the dragging, scratching, and knocking. I sit up there petrified. My husband yells, "Stop it! Whoever you are, you aren't funny." Just as he says that, the knocking intensifies, and we hear a deep growling through the cracks in the wood. Puffs of breath say in a crackling, inhuman voice, "Come out to play with me." So I run up the stairs faster than I've ever run in my entire life, heart thundering, hurt against my chest, barely able to breathe. I hide under the covers. What the heck that's going to do, I don't know, but it brings me an inkling of comfort. I sat there cursing my husband for not leaving when we had a chance. Whatever's out there laughs in that horrible voice for hours, knocking and knocking all over the house, claws and scratching all over the walls, rattling the doors and window coverings, trying so hard to get them open. Eventually it stops and we fall into an uneasy sleep. That morning we pack up our shit in a hurry and get into the truck. The house is covered in torn in half animals, raccoons, squirrels, foxes. There's even half a deer on the deck. We throw all of our shit into the truck, and just before we leave, I remember that my grandpa keeps motion capture cameras on all the trees surrounding the house because he likes the pictures of the wildlife. I grab them and flip through them as we're driving off, happy to be getting the heck out of there. The pictures are nice enough. Some deer, a few blue jays, which makes me smile because they're his favorite. Just as I finally start to relax and breathe easy, I start to see pictures of the animals being nailed to the cabin. The next picture has me shaking so hard I'm about to drop the camera. Written in blood on the side of the cabin where I had originally seen the scratches are the words, "Goodbye. Thanks for playing." The final picture is what makes me scream. The first thing I notice is the yellow cat's slit eyes glaring into the camera, the minuscule pin prick teeth covered in fur and blood and all manner of viscera. It's hunched over its spine in an arch, waving at the camera. Furry stick-like legs ending in cloven hooves with the torso of a man. It's emaciated and gangly thin. It's clearly laughing at us, the fun it's having. I drop the camera, whirling the image out of my mind, and look out the window just in time to see it waving at me as we drive out of the woods.
Ooh, that's a good
kind of a creepy story. Now, whether it's Slender Man or not, but it was kind of a Slender Man-ish type story.
Yeah.
So that was kind of freaky.
Yeah.
And nobody's really seen him, so it could be instead of a soup, you know, everybody sees at a distance where it's really dark, so who knows what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I don't understand. Every time in any horror movie, when something like this happens, nah, we'll be fine. We'll stay another night. We'll just lock up the doors tight. We'll be good. The way that I would have said, okay, then I will walk home. You can stay. I'll call an Uber. I'll call somebody to come pick me up. There's no way. You're telling me that there's somebody went out there and nailed dead rats to the wall? I'm out. I don't understand. Like, why would you stay? Because at that point, it's not even a vacation anymore. Because you're going to be scared the rest of the time that you're there. That somebody
makes for a good story.
Yeah, I got a good story. There's some dead rats nailed to the wall, and I left.
Yeah,
that's my story. I ain't getting killed.
Oh gosh,
you ain't taking me out like that. Mm-mm.
That was pretty good. And you said that was written in 2019.
Yes.
Yeah, it's creepy.
It was nice though. Wait, bye to him. And thanked him for playing along. At least it was yes, Mom. It was courteous. Come back and see me.
It said it was polite. It said thank you for playing.
It might have been given a gift. You know how animals, they don't know any better. A cat will bring you a mole or a rat. It might have just been trying to be nice and social.
Just wanted a buddy.
I like stories like that though, that leave you wondering, you know. That's a good storyteller right there.
And it all started with Slender Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go 10 years back from 2019 when this all started. And I'll give you a little bit of the backstory. And I found a lot of this on a website, the website creepypasta.com. Mm-hmm. So great website.
Love Creepypasta.
Yeah, me too. So it says, what is Slender Man? He's depicted as an abnormally tall humanoid, usually wearing a dark suit and tie, like you said, Ryan. Slenderman's face is almost always completely featureless and often either white or pale gray. Though in some depictions, this blank face does feature an animalistic mouth. The character supposedly appears by woods or forests, enticing children away from their parents and friends, never to be seen again. Another common trope is that Slenderman exerts an influence upon the victims, making them the perpetrators of crimes or violent actions. So remember that for later. The character has also been said to cause an illness, a cough-like illness known as Slender sickness, and to include those to induce those who encounter him to suicide. So not just violent actions toward others, but suicide. These latter things, namely the incitement to violence or suicide, became more prominent and commonly associated with the Slender Man character in a case of art imitating life after real life violent events or cases of attempted suicide were linked to Slender Man. And Lindsay's going to tell y'all more about that in a minute. So it turns out that Slender Man, in his original form, was created during a contest by a man named Eric, I guess you say his last name, Knudson or something like that. It's K-N-U-D-S-O-N. But his alias was Victor Surge. And so he had been on this online forum called Something Awful. It was one of those, you know, paranormal, creepy, scary online forums out there. And they put out, this forum put out a contest, and they wanted digitally altered photographs that would then serve as the basis for new mythologies or stories. And the goal was to change the pictures using digital manipulation so they would show something supernatural. Like, get a picture that's already out there, okay? Manipulate it to show something supernatural. And I don't know, I never found what you won if you won the contest. But anyway, so on June 10th, 2009, now remember that day, June 10th, Knudsen posted his efforts, two black and white images that showed groups of teenagers and children with the now familiar figure of Slender Man standing in the background. Well, this was the first time, you know, it's familiar to us, but this was the first time anyone had seen this concoction of, you know, his imagination. At first glance, the images seemed normal, but the figure's huge size and featureless face, once they were noticed, gave the pictures an eerie and unsettling feeling. And I did find the images. We'll post them to our socials if anybody wants to see those. Mm-hmm. Some say, okay, that Knutson got his inspiration from a series of stories originally published on the Something Awful forum called That Insidious Beast. A person named Zach Parsons had come up with this like little series and posted it on the Something Awful forum. But more inspiration came from Stephen King's The Mist and reports of Mothman, Shadow People, and the like that Knutson had heard of previously. So alongside the images that he posted, he provided small snippets of text that was proposed to be witness accounts, giving hints about the scenes that were depicted and their relation to the figure of Slender Man. So he posts these pictures that he's digitally altered. And I think the thing that was cool about the pictures that he posted, when you first look at them, you think like one of them's of a playground. It's a black and white scene. You know, kids are playing on the playground. You don't really notice anything. But the more you look at it, then you see, and once you see it, like standing back in the woods, and I think it's holding a little girl's hand or something like that. Once you see it, it's like, whoa, it is creepy. It's eerie. Yeah. He did a good job, but he also put text with it. Okay. He put his own little spin on these stories for the pictures. So following his posts on June 10th, the Slender Man character was then picked up by other users. And it just spread like wildfire. Mm-hmm. They fit Slender Man into their own narratives or wrote their own short accounts of alleged encounters with Slender Man. And as they were doing that and everybody's putting their spin on it, it became like his features became what we think of today, like featureless face, very tall, limb-like, branch-like, you know, appendages, arms, legs, and all of that. And the way that he supposedly induced children and enticed children to him. So the day after that first post that Knutson put on there, a user named LeechCode5 posted a photo with a backstory that featured Slender Man also. And by June 14th, 3 days later, a user named Trenchmall used Slender Man in his own story. Then a user known as Thoreau Up, and it's spelled like the author Thoreau, Thoreau Up, posted a story about a figure in Germany who stalked children on the edge of the forest, and that provided an invented historical reference point for Slender Man. You know, because everything's got to have an origin. So he gave it like an origin in Germany a long time ago, you know. Then on June 20th, now it's only been like 10 days since the original pictures were posted, Slender Man became the subject of a YouTube video series based upon an earlier Something Awful post by a man named Troy Wagner. This series, which alleged to detail interactions or discoveries about Slender Man while working on a film project named Marble Hornets. I guess this guy was working on it. The series of videos was supported by a Twitter feed, a second YouTube channel, which allowed the character to move from being a text, an image, and forum-based phenomenon. So up until then, you know, it had just been that. Stories, pictures, text. So now it was becoming referred to, discussed. Slender Man was being modified across a number of different platforms, different people telling their stories and giving their spins. And so all these contributors were coming out of the woodwork. They wanted to get on the bandwagon, the Slender Man bandwagon. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that is how Slender Man started. And it's so wild to me that it took off so fast. I mean, in 10 days, there was a YouTube series, there was there was like all this stuff, and people in these forums were, that was the, you know, prominent discussion they were having. And so I don't know if like that Something Awful forum had an age limit or whatever, but you know how that goes. A kid could say, oh, I'm 18 or whatever, and be and get on there. I don't think that things were as strict as they are now. But also we didn't have AI like we do now. So these people that were sending in photographs were really putting some time and effort into creating this character. And I think it started out as just a fun, you know, oh, I want to make something that creeps somebody out, you know? And then it really just took off. So that was in 2009. And by 2012, kids were, you know, and probably before then, writing poems. You know, do you remember what it was like in school when something cool happened, or somebody got in a fight, or there's a really cool episode of your TV show, you know, that you liked, and you'd go to school and everybody would be talking about it, and you want to be talking about it too, because you know you want to be perceived as cool, all right? And so I kind of think that's what happened in this situation. It wasn't just the adults who were, you know, contributing all these images and things, but it was everybody who wasn't contributing. They wanted to talk about it. You know, it was the gossip of the day, I guess. But never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that, you know, it would have led to things happening in real life. That sounds like, you know, a movie in itself, a scary movie in itself. So I know you have some info about that. I didn't look up too much info after the backstory because I really wanted to hear your take on it because I knew you were researching that part of it. So I can't wait to hear it. I mean, I'm sad that it happened, but
Yeah, because it's
can't
pretty
wait to
awful.
analyze it.
Okay, so and I'll say this first. I don't want to date myself, but 2009, 2010, I was in high school. So I can kind of remember a little bit when this first started blowing up and getting big, and you know, kids would come to school and talk about it and show the pictures around and say, you know, do you think this is real? Like, have you seen this? But even, I don't know, even in high school, I was like, that's so fake. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I just, you're telling me
She was already a little skeptic, Ryan. What do you think about that?
that, you're telling me that, like, a how tall was he supposed to be?
Oh gosh, like 10, 12
10,
feet or
12
more?
feet? Yeah, this tall, gangly guy with no face is getting around in the forest, and he has these tentacles that come out of his back, and he's taking all these little children. Absolutely not.
Oh, I
Is
forgot
it?
to mention about the tentacles that came out of his back. And if people have watched the movie, that's creepy. That's one that's creepy.
It is, but like, why?
Yeah.
It kind of
If
reminds me of
you
Arm.
already have these long arms,
Right.
do
So
you
why did
need the tentacles?
it's
I
like
don't.
our boogeyman or
Yeah.
like something we had growing up that we may end up doing a an episode on something called the Copley Court. You know, kind of reminds me of something like
Yeah.
that.
Call the what?
Tell her, Ron.
The Copley Court.
Got the
The
Copley
Goblin
Court.
Gorp?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was very scary. It's like it can transform into different things, and if you were mean, it would come get you. So it's
Yeah,
like
and it could,
our version of like the boogeyman.
yeah, it could come
And
up through the, it could turn into a jello-like substance and
yeah,
come up through the
most likely
floor
blood.
vents.
And yeah, and yeah, it was freaky. And every uncle had a story.
About the
So
Goblin
yeah.
Gorp.
Yeah.
And I think your dad started it, Ryan.
Huh?
I think your dad started
I don't know, but hey, maybe we need to get some of the people on it that knows more about that subject, that knows, you know, because apparently they've seen it. So we have to get them on here.
Oh, Okay. Yeah, we were weird kids.
I mean, just the name is funny to me. Yes. I'm sure as a kid, when you're hearing these stories, it's like actually scary.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
if he can turn into Jell-O, he can get me anywhere. And he won't come get me if I'm mean.
Yep.
And we're in the middle of the woods, on the top of a mountain, in the middle of the woods, way back in the boonies. I mean, when it's nighttime, you know, unless the moon's out, it's pitch black. Mm-hmm. So they can pretty much make up anything. And then we already come to the conclusion that our uncles, aunts, everybody was involved. Their favorite pastime was scaring the kids.
It was. Oh, my God.
Oh, it scarred some of them for life, though.
And here we are.
Here we are. Join us next week for a little bit of a siren therapy session.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
We're going to talk through our past traumas. No. Okay, let me, I'm going to get into these Slender Man murders. And yes, it's called that, but thankfully, spoiler, nobody actually died.
Really?
In this instance, yes. Now, this is the this is the most famous instance.
Okay.
I didn't see anything about any other Slender Man killings. Mm-hmm. I just found this one, but I don't, there might be some out there. But thankfully, no, nobody died in this. But a little bit of a trigger warning, we are going to be talking about like a very graphic crime. I mean, it's some dark content. So if that's not cool for you, maybe just end it here. And you just had a good time with us. And yeah. So this murder, attempted murder, happened in 2014. And all three of the girls involved at this time were 11 to 12 years old.
Like, oh my gosh, they were so young.
They were middle school, really young, like kind of like we were talking about earlier. Anissa Wire, Morgan Geyser, and Peyton Lautner are the three names now. Peyton is the one that was attacked. Anissa and Morgan are the ones that did the plan and attacking. Okay, so Anissa and Morgan planned to stab their friend Peyton to prove themselves as kind of like a sacrifice to Slender Man.
So wait. They were going to kill their friend as a sacrifice to Slender Man, hoping that they would get what?
Protection,
I'll go into this in a second, but they each say the other one came up with the idea or came up with the plan that Slender Man was somehow telling them that if they didn't do this, that he was going to come kill their families. That if they did this, he wouldn't, because you know Slender Man's whole thing is taking kids. That he wouldn't take them to kill them, but they could come be his proxies / slaves where he lives. Again, easily influenceable age. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, in 2013, Morgan and Anissa, they kind of found a social lifeline in Peyton because they were... I mean, you know, you're in middle school. You're at that awkward age. They were a little bit socially isolated, but befriended Peyton, and she was kind of more outgoing and had some more friends. And they all just really hit it off, got along really well, became the best of friends.
So, where was this? What state was this in?
Wisconsin, I think.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was in Wisconsin. So... around this time that they all became friends and they're in middle school, Anissa was introduced to the website Creepypasta and the story of Slender Man. And she really bought into it, believed he was 100% real, kind of became a little obsessed with it. And she even believed that she was having telepathic communications with Slender Man. So this is a little worrisome because you're at a young age and thinking that you're hearing voices inside of your head can be an early sign of some mental health issues anyways. Not even mentioning Slender Man. But I guess this wasn't really caught. She didn't really think about it because she truly believed that she was having these mind-to-mind communications with this scary monster entity cryptid thing that lives in the woods. So
had she claimed that she ever saw him, like in person, or dreamed about him?
That gets a little muddy because they're saying that they're having these communications, but neither one of them had stories of, yeah, I went out and met him in the woods one night. Like, they didn't physically ever have any contact with this being. And I didn't find any stories where they had tried to say that they had. So Anissa told police that Morgan was the one that proposed the idea of killing Peyton to prove themselves to Slenderman. But of course, then Morgan saying that Anissa was the architect of the whole plan. So they're kind of, he said, she said. I mean, I feel like this happens a lot in court cases and crimes where you don't want to get the worst sentence, so you're going to pin it on the other person involved, you know?
Yeah.
Tale as old as time. So she said that, Morgan said that Anissa told her all of these fantastical stories about Slenderman and her communicating with him and telling her all of this that she needed to do, or they were going to kill, or he was going to kill their families. And so Morgan said that she made it seem necessary. And if it was necessary, then she was going to help her do it. And that was that. So on May 30th, they all came together to celebrate Morgan's 12th birthday, and they had it at a local skating rink. They came home and had a sleepover, and her mom, Angie, on one of the interviews that I watched was like,
whose mom? Which mom?
Morgan's mom.
Okay.
Angie, it was her birthday, and so they all came back to the house and had a sleepover. She said it was just like any normal sleepover. Like, they were playing, with each other, running up and down the stairs, giggling, eating popcorn, watching movies. I mean, just like a regular girl sleepover.
Nothing out of the ordinary, yeah.
Nothing out of the ordinary. She had no idea that this was going to happen. So they have a sleepover, and the next day after breakfast, they asked Angie if they could go outside and play, because I think there was some kind of local park near them that they could just walk to, nothing too far away. So of course she's like, yeah, y'all go outside and play, have a good time. It was technically the day after her birthday, but you know, they hadn't gone home yet. So it was still her birthday party. You want to have a good time. You want your kid to have a good time at their party. So according to Peyton, they were going to play a game of hide and seek, or a game similar to hide and seek. So on the way, she was kind of walking ahead of Morgan and Anissa, and Morgan kind of showed Anissa very casually and quietly the knife that she had snuck out of their kitchen. So she had a knife and she was hiding it. Peyton's walking in front. And now at this point, though, keep in mind, like, this is not spur of the moment. This is premeditated. Mm-hmm. They had come up with this plan. They had talked it through. They had determined that they were going to do this. So at this point, they're luring their friend out into the woods to kill her for a fictional character. Of course, in their 11, 12-year-old brains, they think it's not a fictional character, and that if they don't do it, he's going to come kill them and their family. But even so, I just, like, that's your best friend.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, the interview that I watched, now Peyton finally did give an interview, I think in like 2019, from her side of the story. And she said that the girls kind of told her to lay on the ground and cover herself with like sticks and leaves and stuff for the game that they were going to play. I don't know what kind of version of hide and seek this was, but it was really just a trick to get her down onto the ground. And as soon as she got down and laid down, Morgan took the knife out and just started stabbing her in like a frenzy all over her torso. She ended up stabbing her 19 times. Now,
what was the other girl doing?
She, from the two, because I kind of watched a few different videos, and there was one that had shots of both of their police interviews, and Morgan said that while she was stabbing Peyton, that Anissa was standing there, but she was like encouraging her, like egging her on, like, yeah, do it, like, we have to do this. So they were definitely both all in, even though they didn't both stab her. I think standing there and encouraging it is just as bad.
I cannot imagine how confused, number one, scared, and angry Peyton must have felt. Like, these are her friends. She trusts them.
Yeah, never in a million years would you think that this would happen, especially at that age. That's so far from your brain.
Yeah.
So after the frenzy stopped and Morgan stopped stabbing her, the two girls told her to lay still and that they were going to go for help.
What?
I think that they knew that what they had done was very aggressive and didn't think that she was going to live, but saw that she was still alive and breathing and didn't want her to try to go for help because they wanted her to die.
Oh.
So you lay here, gosh, lay still, we're going to go get help. In what world would I believe that? I don't know, but so they left. But they, plot twist, they did not go get help. Instead, they proceeded to walk for hours to get to the other side of town, to Nicolet National Forest, where they believed Slenderman lived. So they, from there, just walked for hours and hours and hours to get to this park. They never made it. They were apprehended before, but absolutely didn't go get help. And I mean, wow. Who's surprised on that? Like, you're going to stab somebody and then you're going to get help? Are you?
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyways. Now, Peyton, from her interview that she did, said that when all of this was happening, she didn't really feel anything because she was just so in shock that it was happening. Mm-hmm. But that after they left, she kind of got up and walked to a spot where there was grass that she could lay down, because she was just laying down on like leaves and sticks and stuff. So she somehow managed to pick herself up and walk over to the grass and lay down. And then she was kind of spotted by a passing cyclist, and he called the police. Now, I listened to a little bit of the 911 call because it is out there. The guy sounds very confused because he's like, she's laying here, she's saying she was stabbed, but it didn't sound like he was seeing a lot of blood, which can sometimes be a good thing, can sometimes be a really bad thing. If it's just all happening internally, that's really bad.
Yeah.
So, but he stayed with her until the police came. So, and he was really like calm for the most part. So thank God that he came upon her, or she probably would have bled out eventually. So then she was rushed to the hospital, straight into surgery, and thankfully survived. Now, what do I... Okay, and I'm going to talk about her surgery and stuff first before we get to the police interviews and what happened with the other two girls. Because I do think that this... I think that her story as a victim should have the spotlight more than anything else. Like, she was the one that this happened to. This is the most important thing, in my opinion. But so her surgery, she underwent surgery to repair her heart, her liver, her stomach, her pancreas. I mean, she just really, Morgan,
oh my God.
She's not just stabbing in one. She's not a one and done. She's stabbing all over her torso. Now, her mom said that, Peyton's mom said that she did survive, but she has physical scars, but she also has emotional scars. Like, she was sleeping with scissors under her pillow at night for a long time because she was so scared that these girls were going to come back and try to finish the job, you know. So she did. She said she didn't really feel anything. She was just in shock. And that when she lay down on the grass, she was like, I shouldn't be alive right now. And wondering if she was going to live or she was going to die. She, and in her interview, she was like, I honestly should not be alive after what happened. After being stabbed that many times in the torso, like, most people are not going to survive that. Right. Thankfully, she did, though.
How big was the knife? Was it like...
It was just like, it was a kitchen knife. And the police in the interview, they had asked Anissa that same question. They were like, how big was the knife that she had? And she said, she was like, it was about this. The blade was about this long. She was in the handle, the blade. You know, like those block sets of kitchen knives. Probably something like that is what I'm thinking.
And I'm thinking, you know, when you think somebody got stabbed 19 times, you're like, okay, there's no way they make it. And then I get to thinking about the situation. Okay, you know, they're nervous about it in the first place. And then, you know, they're doing it. So either she's not really strong or she's going through the motions. She's just like real quick stabbing motions without really putting a whole lot of pressure or penetration into it. That's the only way that I can see personally that she didn't die. Because if it had any depth at all,
the doctor said if they had been a human hair's width deeper, that she would have died. She wouldn't have made it because it would have hit really, it really would have penetrated and destroyed those internal organs. So
a human hair's width. Wow.
That's like barely any at all. So, and I do think, I think you're right in that she, I mean, she was a 11, 12 year old little girl. Like, there's not a lot of power there. But then at the same time, you're also stabbing someone else who's small. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just wild to me that she came through and she lived. And so, but she now said that she just feels really sorry for Morgan's mom, Angie, because she said, she never would have guessed that this would have, she was like, there, she couldn't have done anything to stop it because there were no signs. She didn't know, she wouldn't have known that this was going to happen, but that she knows that she, Angie feels really bad and she just feels sorry for her. But she said she never wants to have contact with either of those two girls again, which I understand. I wouldn't either. She's like, I hope I never see them again. But she, in a way, is making this out to be the best situation that she can, because now she said that she is really interested in the medical field and that she knows what she wants to do. As of 2021, I think when this article had come out, she had graduated high school and was a sophomore in college, and I think she was pursuing like medical studies, which, I mean, good for you, girl, that you're... She could have really gone downhill and let this affect the rest of her life. And I'm sure, like her mom said, I'm sure she still has trauma and physical and emotional scars, but it really sounds like she's making the best of the situation that she was given.
Yeah. I hope she had
amazing
counseling and things like that. Did she have to continue going to school with these girls or?
No.
Okay.
So that being said, we're gonna backtrack a little bit, and we're gonna talk about. Sorry, I have all my notes. we're gonna talk about these two girls. So, at the time in Wisconsin, a minor did not have to have their parent present during interrogation.
Really?
So yes. So the two girls, they were, you know, they walked hours. They were finally apprehended just sitting next to the interstate, I guess because they were A, tired from walking hours and almost murdering someone, and B, I mean, they still had hundreds of miles to go to get to this national park where Slender Man's supposed to be. So they were just sitting by the interstate. The police came and picked them up. And from that moment on, you know, they went, they did the interviews, they read them their rights, they put them into custody, and that was that. So
did they admit to it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So after the two girls were found by the police, they took them back and they separated them and they did, you know, their separate interviews. And the footage that I watched of these interviews is just, I mean, it's so, and people say this all the time, like, oh, it's so chilling, but it's so chilling to watch them because Anissa was very matter of fact and straightforward, just laid the whole thing out for him. Morgan, on the other hand, was like twirling around, doing stretches in the room, very relaxed and nonchalant.
Like it was nothing.
To me, just her behavior, and not so much Anissa. Now, I know that they're, and we'll talk about what they pleaded their cases for in a minute, but Anissa seemed more competent than Morgan was. To me, like, the way that Morgan was acting is just completely just gone, just completely out of her mind, not there. And let me read you this quote that she said. So as the detective is interviewing her, you know, neither of these girls seemed very remorseful. It was even like, is she okay? Is she gonna die? Like, literally, that was her tone of voice asking that. She didn't care. She did not care at all. It was just one of those things, I think, where she knew that she should ask that in that situation to not seem guilty. I don't know. But she said, one of the detectives asked her, did she feel remorseful? Because they both admitted that they did it. And this is what she said. She said, remorse will get me nowhere. It's easier to live without regrets.
What? 12-year-old.
Okay. So they were both arrested. They were read their rights. They were both arrested and booked. And they were charged with attempted first-degree murder.
Wow.
And the judge decided that he wanted to try them in adult court. So they were tried in adult court, which I think there's people on both sides of the fence that are for that and against that. I don't know. I know they're young kids and they both, you know, pleaded dealing with mental illness, those kind of routes that you take. And I understand that, but at the same time, there's no remorse. You just tried to murder your best friend in cold blood for no reason.
Were either of the girls on, like, medications?
No.
Before this happened?
So, and then after all this happened, Morgan was diagnosed with early onset schizophrenia.
That makes sense.
And it was found out that her dad had also struggled with that in the past.
Okay.
And so she was transferred to a state mental hospital to await her trial. In 2016, she pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity, of course. But then before it could go to court and be tried in front of a jury, she reached a plea deal in 2017 that she wouldn't be held criminally liable for the crime, but she would continue treatment at the facility. And then the next year in 2018, Judge Michael Bowron, I think is how you say his last name, ordered the max of 40 years commitment to that state hospital. So she was gonna, she's there still. She's gonna be there for a long, long, long time. So even though she's not held criminally liable,
she's still in prison.
Yeah, she's away. She's gonna be away for a long time. And we'll come back to her in just a second. Anissa pled not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect in 2016, so a little bit different. Now, I'm not a lawyer and I don't really know the difference. So she then pleaded guilty to a lesser charge of attempted second degree murder. So in 2017, a jury found her not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect, and she was committed to 25 years at the Winnebago Mental Health Institute. But in July of 2021, That same judge, Michael Bowron, ruled that she no longer posed a substantial risk and granted conditional release. Now, when she first came out, she had a GPS device on her at all times, around the clock, and case managers as well,
mm-hmm.
until, and this was ruled that she would have this until she turned 37. But in 2023, a different judge removed the GPS stipulation. So she still has case managers, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, she's pretty much free to be out there living her life. And now she's not the one that did the stabbing. But I don't know. In my eyes, I think they're both equally as guilty. If you're going to stand there and encourage it and also help plan it, I don't know. It makes me a little uneasy that she could get out that easily.
So she's like, what, 21, 22? How old is she now?
Oh, I'm not going to pretend to do the mental math. I will let you do that. but yeah, I think 21, yeah. 22 is kind of the age that they are now. So let's revisit Morgan for a second, because so her buddy, you know, is out and about. Mm-hmm. So obviously she's going to plea to also get early release.
Mm-hmm.
So April of 2024, literally last month. Mm-hmm, a judge ruled that Morgan will not be released as she remains a risk to the public. So for 2 days, psychologists, both from the defense and the prosecution, evaluated her mental health. And now I saw a lot of different things online about exactly what they said, but the ones that I found the most interesting. So in 2022, Dr. Deborah Collins, now remember that Morgan has been diagnosed with early onset schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dr. Deborah Collins testified that Morgan told her that she never had psychotic symptoms, but was faking it. Now, and this is all alleged, okay? She was faking it so she wouldn't be released back into the custody of her father because there was some past abuse that went on there. Now, Dr. Brooke Lundbaum also suggested the plea be denied. And Morgan's attorney says that she hasn't changed her story, but attributes her attack to her own alleged trauma instead of mental illness. Now, to me, that is changing your story. I don't know. Maybe it's not to everybody else, but I think that, and I think there were also a couple of doctors that did advocate for her release and said, you know, she's
mm-hmm.
been through all this therapy, she's done all the steps, there's nothing more that we can do to rehabilitate her.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, if there's nothing more you can do to rehabilitate her, and there are doctors and judges saying that she still poses a risk, then maybe she should be in there for her max of 40 years.
Yeah.
I was
going to ask you if you had delved into whether there was abuse in either of those two girls' homes or somewhere else that they suffered abuse or trauma.
I didn't really look into that because I didn't find a lot on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this allegation is still pretty new. As far as, because I mean, it was just last month that she was denied that plea deal, but
both her parents are still living.
Mm-hmm.
And as a parent myself, I can't imagine. I cannot imagine the nightmare that the parents, siblings, families went through. So not just, I mean, of course, Peyton went through hell, but
oh my god,
that's a whole, I mean, on a whole different level. But
after that, I would have the deepest trust issues out there.
Yeah.
Because those are your best friends. You would never expect that in a million years.
Right. And I wonder, like, we don't know what went on behind closed doors at the sleepover or whatever, but evidently they didn't tell her. Did they tell her anything about Slender Man? Or,
I mean, they must have had conversations about it, but it didn't seem like Peyton had bought into it as much.
Yeah.
Because so I mean, just, that was at the point where the story first kind of came out, and it had, well, not first came out, but it had really just been making the rounds, and it's in middle school, and you know everybody's talking about it, and whether it's real, but at the same time, to me, I don't think it's that believable. Right. Now, I know they're younger, and I know they're more impressionable, but I do think that mental illness really played a big part in this because you're having telepathic communications. And honestly, just from watching those police interviews, it's pretty clear that something is going on.
And
I read some of the different, maybe probably similar to what you did as far as police interviews. And it said that Nanisha actually thought that he was real because she saw him. Like, they'd be talking on the bus, and she would look out the window and see this thing standing with, like, the tentacles standing out, looks like a tree. And then, you know, in a second, he'd be gone. And that it also kind of went along to lead in that, you know, even though both girls kind of pointed fingers at the other, but she did mention things that made the investigator feel that Anissa had been doing things to please Morgan to keep her as a friend because she didn't want to disappoint her because she's doing it because she's seen it made her happy. So I don't really like the whole peer pressure thing or to be able to do things to keep friends. If those are the type of friends that you're attracting, they're not really your friends at all.
True.
So I kind of got that out of the police investigation too.
Yeah.
And also what you were saying about walking for hours, I read, and this is kind of cool. We can take a road trip if you want that. Slender Man actually has a mansion in the middle of Nicolet National Park, right?
What?
And it was a 4.5 hour drive by car from where they initially done the murder. So that tells you how far they'd been trying to walk. So if it takes 4.5 hours by car, you can imagine how far they would have had to walk by foot.
And just to me, like the fact that she's saying that she's seeing these things, she's saying that she's communicating with him telepathically. They're thinking that if they do this, they get to go live in the mansion and then that they could just walk that far. What is going on mentally that all of these scenarios seem okay to you? And I mean, you know how kids are like, you know how kids get, they're like, oh my gosh, did you see that? Did you see that? I saw him over there. Did you see him standing over there? And then all the other kids are like, oh yeah, I saw it too.
Yeah.
So you would never, like, as a kid, either in her class or like one of her other friends that was into Slender Man, you would never think that she was being serious about, you know, I really saw him. Like, kids try to say stories like that and scare each other all the time. I remember when I was teaching at, I used to teach at an elementary school, and this thing had gone around, and I don't know if you all ever heard of it, but it was called Momo.
No.
And it was just this picture of this super pale girl, I think, that had this long stringy black hair, these huge eyes. I mean, it kind of resembled Gollum from Lord of the Rings a little bit, but they were convinced that it was real. And I walked into class one day, and one of the kids had asked me if I knew what it was, and I had seen the picture, and I was like, yeah, I've seen the picture. And he was like, do you think that's real? Like, 100%, this kid was, like, completely asking me because he didn't know if it was real or not. Now, you and I can tell that this picture is the fakest thing that we've ever seen. But to an underdeveloped brain, to kids this young, they don't know.
Right.
And if your friend is saying that they really saw something, you're just, it's going to be a wildfire. It's just going to be a whole frenzy. You're going to get this hive mind. All these kids are going to convince each other that this is a real thing when it's not. But they can't discern that because their brains are not developed enough to know really the difference between what a cryptid is, like a made-up thing on the internet is, and what's real life. And I'm sorry, but if you're hallucinating that you're seeing this slender man-like creature and you're hearing these voices, that's not real, and you might seek help. Like, you should tell somebody that you're seeing and hearing things so that you can get help, but she doesn't know. Like, she thinks that she really is. So it's just, it's such a hard situation. I really do think that some mental issues came into play here, whether Morgan says that she just faked that all or not. I don't think you can fake being that cold,
right,
and not caring about that. I mean, if she was faking that, give her the Oscar, because it was the most convincing portrayal of somebody that's just nonchalant and cold that I've ever seen.
Wow.
I think if you're like a normal, empathetic human being and you're seeing this happening or being around this happening, you're not going to be able to do that to somebody else. B, you're not going to be able to just feel nothing about it. I mean, in that police interview, and I'll link the YouTube videos that I watched in the show notes, but in that police interview, she just did not care. Mm. Like, did not care at all. Was the most nonchalant. I mean, it was like she was just having a conversation with any old person about any old thing.
Did she ever in these interviews or anything that you've read, I'm curious, does she still believe that Slender Man is real? And did she feel like she failed Slender Man, or they failed?
I tried to find out the same thing because I was so curious. I was like, you know, she can say that she's rehabilitated and that she doesn't, you know, she's not a risk to society anymore. But at the same time, you have to wonder, okay, what if she's still in the back of her mind thinks that this is true, is still true. And what's to say, like, she still believes this, but she's fooling everybody because she was faking her mental illness. So she's a really good actress. Maybe she's faking and fooling everybody. And when she gets out, if she ever was to get out, she would go try to finish the job. What's to say that that's not a real scenario that could happen? And if I was Peyton, I mean, just knowing that Anissa got out makes the thought that Morgan could also get out that much realer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would just relive that all over again. I think that's so unfair to her. And honestly, yeah, you have the opinions of all these judges and these doctors and these professionals, but I think that her voice and her opinion in that situation should be the loudest.
Agreed.
She should have some kind of say in that.
Yes, she should. What did her parents, did you read anything about Peyton's parents, how they handled all this? I mean, I cannot imagine as a mother.
God bless.
I know.
On Peyton's interview, her mom was also on there, and they showed like a short snippet of her talking. And she said that she got the call from the police that Peyton was being rushed to the emergency room. So she met her there, and she was able to just talk to her for like a minute before they took her back. And she was like, even today when she gave the interview, she's like holding back tears. She was like, I just told her everything was going to be okay and that I would talk to her when she got out of surgery and we would figure this all out. But she didn't know if she was going to even make it out of surgery at that
point. So that could have been her last minute with her daughter.
But what else can you do besides just comfort them and tell them it's going to be okay?
Yeah.
I mean, what else can be done at that point? Nothing. And I didn't see anything else about how the parents interacted after that, or how she felt after the surgery or now. That was just kind of a small snippet. Most of the interview was you know, Peyton giving her side of the story, but it just makes you wonder.
Right. And here's another
go on from this. Like, yeah. How do you move on?
Here's another thought I had. If I was the person who originally put the post of those pictures up there and got Slenderman started, I think I would feel, I mean, of course it's not his fault that any of this happened, you know, but if, you know, knowing me and the way I think, I probably would have beat myself up about it.
Absolutely.
But I mean, mental illness, you know, and all that, that's not his fault. You know, he's over here removed from this, just, you know, putting up just trying something to write for a scary story.
Yeah. He's just trying to entertain people, write a scary story and have fun with it. He never in his wildest dreams would have imagined that someone was going to take it to this level.
Right. And the
end would still feel awful.
And you know, it reminded me of like a lot of times there'll be, you know, real murderers, serial killers who are inspired by this character or that character, or they're a copycat, you know, of somebody else that's been inspired by. And I just think that's, you know, that's a fine, dark line that we don't often get into, you know, on our podcast anyway. But when you mix mental illness with, you know, the paranormal, that can really go down a dark path.
And that can escalate. Like when people are having hallucinations, I mean, yeah, our eyes play tricks on us normally. Sure. But if you're hallucinating and you're hearing all these scary stories and you're really buying into it, I mean, that would be so terrifying.
Yeah.
In her brain, Anissa and Morgan, in their brains, they really believed that if they didn't do this, Slenderman was going to come and kill their families. And I think that's how they convinced themselves to actually go through with it. They really believe, I mean, how terrifying is that as an 11-year-old little girl?
Right.
That's so scary.
Yeah.
Not and saying it's hard that I empathize with them because they're definitely in the wrong in this entire situation. And I think should still be behind closed doors, in my opinion, and should have stayed there for a while. But I mean, it's hard not to say, gosh, they were so young.
Yeah. But it, and then on the other hand, it's hard to think of them as that young when you hear, you know, what they did. I was really shocked when you said the part about the judge decided to try them as adults. That's kind of rare.
It is. And I think the fact that there was just no remorse there played into that very, very hugely. Like that, I think, is something that is always taken into account, no matter what the crime is or who did it. If you have no remorse, like if you show no remorse at all.
Yeah. Well, and then too, if she was pretending and faking, if she wanted to get out and not be locked behind bars, if she had like totally broken down and shown fake remorse or, you know, acted like an 11 or 12 year old, she may not have gotten the sentence that she did. Like what goes through my brain is like, where's the finish line in all of this for her? Like I thought you were going to say she just broke down and like she wanted to get out and you know, please Slenderman. And, but she didn't do that. She just kind of like was calm and nonchalant and cold. And
at this point, one of the news outlets made this point too. Anissa is out. At this point, Morgan has spent more than half of her life being in this facility. So if she's been in there for that amount of time and they still think she poses a risk, I don't really know that there is anything else that can be done. I think it's just one of those things where, like, wait out your time.
And then
I do have a question because in this, like I said, some of the stuff I read, it kind of made me feel like she was doing it to please Morgan. So she's more manipulated by Morgan. So maybe, you know, that she's out, maybe she has that remorse or regret. And also when you mentioned that there might have been some psychological or maybe some physical abuse in the home, could it have started because, you know, adults sometimes hear what children talk about? Could it be like, well, you know, you better be good or Slender Man will come get you. Or if you're not good, you know, he'll come kill all of us. Mm-hmm. And that kind of might have spiraled into something more. Because possibly. When you talked about that, you know, all of that's kind of might tie in together. I don't know. But it kind of makes you ask, like every episode, it makes us ask more questions.
I mean, are they just going to gamble the dice, you know, that when she gets out, she's not going to do anything? I mean,
I don't know. I think it would, and I don't know what it would take, but I think it would take a lot for her to be able to convince all of these doctors and judges to let her out.
Yeah.
Now, what that would be, I don't know. Because they do all kinds of like evaluations and tests. It's not just a doctor sitting down with her and asking her how she feels. Like they're doing tests on her mm-hmm. that reveal different things.
Right.
That I mean, I would know nothing about because I'm mm-hmm. I don't have a medical mind or like a psychiatrist mind.
Me either. But it's fascinating to me though.
Yeah, I just.
And I think about those kids in these girls' class at school, you know, one day, like one Friday, everybody leaves for school, everything's normal. And then they come back Monday and
yeah, your classmate's been stabbed viciously by two of your other classmates. I saw this comment on a Reddit post and it's Reddit, so who knows if it's true or not, right. But it was by, she said that she was one of their classmates and that when they came back to school that Monday that everybody was just shocked. Like there was not really anything to be said, that everybody was just in shock about it. Even the teachers. And I mean, who says that that's true? That could just be somebody wanting attention, but honestly, that would check out. Like I would believe that.
Yeah.
And could you imagine you'd be like, I was just at her house like last weekend. We had a sleepover or, you know, I seen her, you know, I was at her house yesterday. It's, and always the people next door that makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Freaky
can
happened.
You imagine coming back to school and knowing that two of your classmates stabbed another one of your classmates for Slender Man? I would 100% be like, okay, well, wait a minute. Like, is this a real thing I should be worried about?
Oh, like, yeah.
Slender Man, you know, at that age.
Influencing other kids? What other of my classmates are this, you know, thinking like this?
And you know, that would influence your mind so much. Like, if I was that age and I knew that happened, I would probably be like, listen, can we think about this for a second? Like, is this guy real? Is this something I should be worried about?
Yeah.
Can I trust my friends to not kill me?
Yeah, my kid wouldn't be going nowhere for a long time. I'm like, no, people just go crazy. Nope, you ain't going to
exactly.
Yeah.
It has a ripple effect, you know, that reaches so far. Yeah. Well, I'm intrigued. I definitely want to, you know, read more about Peyton. And of course, I mean, I understand her not wanting to give interviews and things like that and just try to move on with her life.
And I hope she's like really successful in the things that she does. Like she uses her experience and just takes that and helps as many people as she can.
Yeah, you know, she'll have empathy and all the things that a good medical professional
even more so. Yeah.
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 But kudos to her. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that she lived. You know, I just can't imagine what that family's gone through, what she and her family have gone through and what she goes through every day, probably. I hope that she's had the counseling and help that she needs. And, but yeah, I agree with you. Her story should rise to the top, you know, in all of this. And
like I was going to get some pictures and put some pictures up, but at the same time, it's one of those situations where, whenever somebody's like a murderer or a serial killer or a school shooter, I don't think that they deserve that limelight.
Because that's what they wanted to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Don't show their face. Don't say their name. I just don't think they deserve it at that point. If you're going to make a decision like that, you need to be locked away and forgotten about, is what I think. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. might seem harsh, but adult actions, I mean, you got those mm-hmm. adult consequences that are coming, so yeah. you got to deal with it.
And if any of our readers or listeners out there, if you know anybody that's associated with this, or maybe even any psychologists that would have any insight yeah. on what makes people do this, we'd be happy to hear your stories or be a guest.
So interesting.
You know, we look for realism. We look for real things. Mm-hmm. We don't want just some kind of crazy stuff on here that's not true. But like I said, these are real events, real things that happen. Every episode we have has a basis behind it. Right. Mm-hmm. And wow. we make you ask the question, what's real, what's not, could this happen? But this is a really dramatic event, you know, a very sad thing, you know, lives are involved. So, you know, if you do know anybody that is involved in this mm-hmm. or anything like that, we'd be happy to, you know, hear more about it, you know, yeah. and at least, you know, get the story out there and let people know, hey, this is how serious this is. So pay attention to what your kids are doing, what they're yes. paying attention to. You don't want to be the one to get that phone call.
No.
And honestly, too, you know what? That we have so much AI now, I'm honestly surprised that there hasn't been some kind of mm-hmm. new AI cryptid monster yeah. similar to Slenderman that's come out, because it's so unpoliced and uncontrolled. I mean, you mm-hmm. can make anything with AI.
You can make
videos. You can make a voice. You can make a
believable scenario.
Yeah.
Especially for young minds like that. And I want to piggyback off what Ryan said. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. And yes, you need to pay attention, you know, to what your family, your children are dealing with and are saying and are seeing and are talking about. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we are our brother's keeper. Mm-hmm. And someone like Morgan may not have realized that she had mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder, you know, if someone had picked up on that
yeah.
and intervened before all of this happened. So please be mindful, please care, and, you know, and really pay attention, because children, especially, they may not know. They don't know the signs and symptoms of mental illness, and they are probably, if they're experiencing any of those, are not going to be, you know, shouting it from the rooftop.
Yeah.
And the society and kids are so cruel mm-hmm. to one another. And, you know, there's a lot of kids and teens that feel isolated and just all by themselves, even when they're in a school, you know, all day or with their family. You just never know. This is a case that's eye-opening in the fact that you never know. Yeah.
And I also just want to say, too, going off that for Mental Health Awareness Month, my greatest piece of advice that I could ever give anybody is just to mind your own business. Like, if you are online and you're seeing somebody that you don't vibe with, you don't like how they look, you don't like who they are, it's so easy to just mind your own business.
Mm-hmm.
Worry about your own self, because 100%, that other person is not physically affecting you. 100%. Just stay in your lane, mind your business, and we'll all be so much happier, because nobody's going to be cyberbullied if everybody just minds their own business.
Yeah.
And that's such a problem right now. Over
social and it's media. So sad that that's a problem. But with every good thing, there comes something, you know, the complete opposite, or it can yeah. be used for, you know, yeah. things that aren't good. So it's so important just to, you know, as parent, I mean, you know, my kids are grown. Ryan, your kids are grown. But if I had young kids today that were like sitting in front of a computer for most of, you know, the day or evening or whatever, I would be like, I would definitely be policing that. Definitely.
And it's also hard too, because these kids, and I could go on a tangent for days, but they're always available. you know, back in the day, there were no cell phones.
Right.
You could just sit down at night and not, and just take a break, take a social break. Mm-hmm. But with cell phones and social media and internet, you're always available to everybody. Yeah. There's no mental break from that anxiety to be cool or to have your friends think you're funny or
pretty or, yeah, whatever their idea is out there.
I feel bad for them. And people, you know, sometimes people are like, I don't understand why kids these days are so stressed. You don't have anything to stress about. But it's like they're exposed to everything all the time. Yeah. That's my anxiety would be through the roof if I was young and online and
mm-hmm. And this is a teacher, people telling you this.
Yeah. Pay attention.
If they'd had social media when we were growing up, what? I am so glad they didn't.
Yeah, you got to pay attention to the right stuff, like Lindsay was saying. You know, stay in your lane. But if you do see somebody that's a little bit, I'm not saying pick on bullying, but if you see somebody and they legitimately think that they're seeing things or something along the manner here because they really thought or said that they really saw Slender Man, or, you know, at that point you'd be like, hey, you know, you might want to let somebody know. But just because somebody looks different or acts different or approaches things, you know, doesn't mean you get to bully them. It's pay attention to the right stuff. And as far as the person itself, you know, if you have a mental illness, you know, there's a saying, hey, if you're crazy, do you know you're crazy? No, you don't, because you actually believe what you see, think, and feel, right? Yeah. So other people need to pick up on that. So if you see somebody and they're like, you know, doing some crazy stuff or talking to themselves or, you know, having conversations with things that are not there or something, that's a little strange. That don't mean pick on them. That just means, hey, talk to somebody and say, hey, did you know, your daughter was doing this. Is this normal? You know, something like that. Pay attention to the right things and do the right thing. Like,
and that's what school counselors stuff are for. It's a sad world we're living in. I hate to say it, but it is. I mean,
I'll get off my soapbox. I could talk about it for hours.
I'm sure, you know, being in that environment with young people every day. Mm-hmm. And like today, shout out, it's School Nurses Appreciation Day. Mm-hmm. And this week is Teacher Appreciation Week. And we appreciate you, mm-hmm. Lindsay, for your students. I'll appreciate you too. There is no one who deserves to be treated with more respect, to be paid the utmost than teachers and medical professionals and first responders. I mean, your job is tough. It's really tough. And I'm sure most of us don't even realize how tough it is. And I was not cut out to be, especially at this point in my life, I just couldn't. So kudos to you and to all the teachers out there and the nurses, school nurses, or, you know, medical professionals, wherever you are, especially those that are helping children and young people. Hats off to you. God bless. We appreciate you. And I guess on that note, we will we'll bring up our socials and our Gmail and ask you to email us. We know there are people out there with stories just waiting to be heard. So don't hesitate to email us or comment on social media. We're here for the listeners. You know, that's the only reason we're doing it. I mean, you know, we just like, what are y'all doing? Like,
I can never get it right. I always press to have our banner come up, and then I'm like, which one of these will have us show the banner?
Anyway, so there's where you can send us your listener stories, sirensofthesupernatural@gmail.com. Or hey, you may be another podcast and listen to us and want to contact us and come on our show or have us on your show. That'd be great. We love all our paranormal podcast friends and other podcasts that we follow and who follow us.
We like talking.
We like talking. We're like,
this is going to be a short episode. An hour and 40 minutes later.
Yeah, I know.
We want to keep it short and sweet this time, guys.
That's what we say. But anyway, it was some really good, there was some good info in there.
you know. There's some nuggets in there, tonight's episode.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'll let one of the two of you tell about our socials.
Yeah, just make sure you follow us on. You can do Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, yeah, pretty much any social media out there that you guys listen to is Sirens of the Supernatural. And on TikTok, it is Supernatural Sirens. And don't forget to send us your stories or any kind of readers' mm-hmm. questions, comments, or either even if there's a topic you want us to cover, retouch, or maybe something we haven't spoke about, you can send it to sirensofthesupernatural@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Or if you have an idea of somewhere we could go to do an on-site investigation.
Go to Wisconsin and find that mansion.
That's a long trip now.
But if we go, we're not.
Right. What are we going to be talking about next week? We're not even really sure.
I was a list, but we always...
We do. We have a whole topics list, but one of these days soon, I think, Lindsay, you mentioned last week that you would tell some of your supernatural experiences, some weird things that have happened. So it's about time, you know, and then maybe we can do another episode where, you know, I don't have very many, but I have some. So, yeah, I think that's cool. Listeners like to hear, like, what's going on with us. What, you know, what
we've been... Maybe you want to know what's new with me. Sorry, okay. That was a quote from Sweet Home Alabama. Sorry.
That's okay. So, we're going to bid you all adieu and hope that you have a great rest of your week. And, well, weekend, I guess, by the time this airs, it'll be Friday night. We're going into another weekend. Friday night's my scary movie night.
And also, come on over on Sunday and listen to our next part in the series of our Sunday Scaries that I'm doing, because it's real spooky.
That one was. And I love all the little bells and whistles you had going on, too.
I'm trying
real hard. The voices were scary. I was like,
trying real hard.
I was like, who did she get to do that?
It was Champ. He does all my vocals for me.
Well, it was good. It was good. I'll be listening this Sunday night for the second part of that story. Anyway, we're going to leave you with our end of episode catchphrase like we normally do. We never say it all at the same time. Look at Champ. He's like, yeah, it's time to get off. Okay. Say what you're missing if you're not watching us on YouTube. If you're listening, you're missing a lot. Anyway, I will say bye to y'all, and we will say
stay spooky.
Bye.
Yeah.